Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
There's no good one until we go on Facebook and someone's like, I got the perfect one. And I'm like, yeah, goddamn right.
Welcome to Sincast, presented by CinemaSins.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Sincast. This is Chris Atkinson from CinemaSins, joined by Jonathan Watkins from CinemaSins.
Hello, hello.
Today, we're going to be doing a mini-pod.
Mini-pod.
Termi-pod?
Termi-pod.
Fady-pod?
Yeah, I like that. Let's do Fady-pod.
Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah, there's no good one. There's no good one until we go on Facebook and someone's like, I got the perfect one. And I'm like, yeah, goddamn right. We're doing a mini-pod of Terminator Dark Fate. A movie that is, number one on the weekend
and no one cares.
Nobody cares.
I think that's the best way to look at this movie. Even if it's good, nobody cares.
Yeah. It made like domestically, it made 28 something million.
About a million more than Genesis made opening weekend.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I don't think it would have mattered how good the reviews were for this movie. Genesis would have made people stay away.
I think it's possible. I don't know that people cared by the time. I don't know. This is an interesting thing. Cause I was talking to a friend about this the other day, but like, I just don't know that this is a franchise that just is really in the public consciousness at all. Like, people love the first two movies. I mean, I think that's a given, but like, I was trying to even think of like, cause I actually prefer the original over the second mm-hmm. one. And I don't even really know what the general consensus of that is because I've had so few conversations about this franchise in my lifetime.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you're right. I think it's possible that the reason why we keep talking about Terminator is because of Terminator 2.
Yeah.
Which was just a landmark in special effects and was, I believe, the number one movie of 1991. Box office wise,
I'm almost positive that's right.
And it movie permeated pop culture for the longest time in the 90s. Yeah. Maybe only the early 90s. I don't know. I'm not sure, but we started seeing parodies of it all over the place. And Terminator 2 was such a huge movie. The mm-hmm. first Terminator was kind of a cult hit.
Yeah.
That just kind of like after 7 years became a big thing.
Yeah. That's another thing. I mean, and Terminator 2 was the number one movie of 1991, actually by quite a bit. Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves was number two.
Yeah.
And it was about 40 million behind. But yeah, I mean, Terminator didn't, I mean, it made money. It was a hit, but like it wasn't that kind of hit.
Right.
But it definitely, you know, people liked it. I think it's a great movie. And then Terminator 2 came out, you know, 7 years later, I guess.
Yeah, it was 7 years. It was 84.
And I mean, Terminator 3 did well. I mean, it did well box office wise. I think people were still curious enough to see, I mean, you know, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger hadn't been doing a whole lot of big roles. He comes back to this role. Mm-hmm. And I think there was enough curiosity there.
Even when he was governor, they found a way yeah. to just kind of stick him in Terminator Salvation.
That's true. They did.
Let's look at what Terminator 3 did. I think it did, like, okay. It made 150 domestic and made $433 million worldwide. That's not bad. And then Terminator Salvation.
Yeah, which it was okay. Like it did okay from what I remember. It definitely wasn't a huge hit by any means.
Yeah, Terminator Salvation, 125 domestic, 371 million worldwide, and then Terminator Genesis.
I think it made like 80 domestic.
It was not. That was the one where people were like, I mean, it was just, that movie was just so confusing to so many people and not good, obviously. And yeah, it made 89 domestic, 440 worldwide, but that's sort of the changing nature of worldwide grosses is they're going to be more and more.
That's true. But this one had a very disappointing worldwide start as well.
Yeah.
Like, I think it only made like 92 million or something worldwide to start off with. So it's not doing well.
Yeah. It's
and the, it had 125 million budget, or that's what they're saying. That's what they're reporting. So,
yeah. So this is the sixth Terminator movie. And it's possible after Terminator 2, I think maybe a lot of people were like, once they did the things that they did in Terminator 2, how is there any other movies, any other stories
yeah.
to tell? Terminator 3, they sort of basically said, well, none of the stuff they did in Terminator 2 mattered because they still just made the Skynet anyway.
Which I think is what pissed a lot of people, the people that really don't like that movie.
Yeah.
I actually quite like Terminator 3, but I can totally see that point of view.
Yeah.
Because that would, you know. That's a cop out.
And then Terminator Salvation was sort of was almost prequely in its nature, because it was Christian Bale as John Connor as the leader of the resistance this time, and not anybody being sent back in time.
And that's probably more well known for Christian Bale being an asshole.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. And the awesome dubstep or whatever the hell they did with it.
Yeah. Where it, I know what you're talking about, but yeah.
Whatever, there's a YouTube video yeah. where it basically yeah. took that. Like, what don't you understand? And then just made it into a big music thing. And then Terminator Genesis went all over the place. That was the crazy, that movie was so crazy in its time travel and its.
So you definitely did not like that movie, right? I saw
what,
it.
Genesis?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
No. Well, here's the thing. I saw it once and I went into it like, I saw it like maybe 5 days after it came out. So I already knew that like no one was really liking it. It wasn't making any money.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Like I haven't watched it again. I've had no interest in watching it again. I remember being perfectly okay with it, but thinking like, why? Like, why are we doing this? Like, none of this seems to make any sense.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to care story-wise if every time they completely vanquish what
yeah.
they're out to vanquish, then it comes back anyway. Now, yes, you could get philosophical about it and say that people are always going to be doing shitty things. They're going to be looking into making technology that does this type of stuff. I mean, we're living in a world right now where these things are becoming more and more possible.
Yeah, that's true.
But like, I mean, I understand that, but it's one of those things where it's like, it's hard to kind of care what happens on screen if they win and then it just happens again.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, that's an inherent problem in a lot of sequels, but it seems to, for some reason, it seems to be more irritating.
But they're changing
franchise.
The future. That's yeah. the thing. The whole thing is about changing the future. And they apparently do it. And then, oh, wait a minute. Either they left, like in the first one, they left the arm in the factory. So somebody's, you know,
yeah.
now Miles Dyson is studying the arm and everything. In Terminator 2, they pretty much just everything in there. They like destroy every
yeah.
single
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
And then in Terminator 3, they're like, well, no, none. And in actuality, Skynet still gets built. So on and so forth. But yeah, it's, so that's why it's kind of hard to do this. In this movie, I will give this movie some credit. It's saying that, it's not the same sort of things that are happening, but it's not the same convergence of events. In this movie, they're saying that that yes, the same things are happening again, but it's got a completely different set of plot rules to it and everything.
Yeah, and I mean, and you know, and there's a different person that we're trying to save.
Yeah,
and,
different and person,
things like that. Yeah, which I mean, yeah, spoilers for this are gonna be really fun to talk about. But, yeah. But yeah, generally, like this, yeah, like, and it's interesting you say, like, I don't even think it would have mattered, like, what the reviews for this were. And the reviews for this are fairly positive. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of takes since I watched it. I've read a lot of takes where people are saying it's the best one since the second one. I disagree with that. I actually think the third one's quite a bit better than this. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if you hate what they do in the third one, I just think as a movie, the third one is so much better than this.
Yeah.
I liked this, the first like 30 minutes of this movie, I was like, oh, I might like this.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just went downhill. And I mean, it went like, for me, it went downhill quickly. And there is a character introduction that I guess I will wait till spoilers, because I know there are some people that don't watch trailers, completely ruins anything it had going for it, in my opinion. I think the three female leads are excellent.
Mm-hmm.
I think Linda Hamilton, I'm really glad they brought her back. I thought that was going to be, I didn't know what that was going to be like. I haven't seen her in a while, mm-hmm. and you just don't really know. And it's kind of like, you know, Jamie Lee Curtis getting brought back for Halloween. Mm-hmm. Seems like kind of started this,
yeah.
maybe this trend we got going, but I liked it here. I thought she was badass.
Yeah, I agree.
Is it Mackenzie Davis?
Mackenzie Davis.
She's really good. She's the new good Terminator, I guess, which we'll get more into that in spoilers. Mm-hmm. And then is it Natalia Reyes, who I had never seen before.
Yeah.
She was good. I thought all three of them were really good. And the one thing I can take away from this is I think they're always interested, like they're always good in the movie. Like I'm perfectly fine following them, but then the movie just starts getting caught up in its own bullshit, and it gets bogged down by, you know, bad special effects, to be honest. I still cannot figure this out, why Terminator 2 was made almost 30 years ago
mm-hmm.
and looks better than any of these sequels.
It's Stan Winston, man.
I know.
I really do think that the secrets of good special effects died with him.
Maybe.
Because nobody, I mean... We had a guy on Sincast. His name was Aaron Sims, who was mm-hmm. on here, and he was under Stan Winston, and he was under Rick Baker. So a lot of the effects that I've seen him responsible for, those are usually pretty good effects. Like the movie, like it's got some really good stuff like that. And I told him that it seems like he's taken the best of both of those guys. Mm-hmm. And sort of made his own thing with digital effects, essentially.
Yeah.
And Winston, and obviously Terminator was digital and everything, but he did that. He did Jurassic Park. I mean, obviously there's a lot of other people too that we're not mentioning here, because there's a big special effects team. I think Dennis Muren's another one of those guys. But there's a lot of, I really do think that because after he died, a lot of that, like, well, and not only the perfection of those effects, but just people who have time to do those effects or learn to do those effects.
Well, that's true too. And it's a lot, it's not, there's a lot of, financial issues with effects companies these days, where you see, like, you know, they'll win, the effects company will win an Oscar and then they'll close their doors.
Right. Like Life of Pi guys.
Yeah. So there's a lot of that going on too. So, you know, who knows, but and maybe this is beating a dead horse, but it still kills me. I mean, it's still a problem because, and maybe that's also probably a problem with Jurassic Park sequels, because you're just like, how does this look worse than a movie made in 1993?
Yeah.
Now, granted, Jurassic Park had a lot of practical as well. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much Terminator 2 had. I don't know enough about the process.
I think it's mostly digital with the T-1000 and everything, but there's just something about it.
Well, and what was more noticeable about that in this one is that the bad Terminator, I guess, I'm trying to think of who played, was that Gabriel Luna?
Yeah.
Who actually is perfectly
fine.
He's
great, yeah.
Yeah, I would argue he probably is great. It's possible he's the best villain since Robert Patrick, but you could definitely argue that. He has a lot of the same abilities
mm-hmm.
that the Robert Patrick Terminator had.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it more noticeable when you're looking at like the effects versus the 91, where you're just like, God, this looks so much worse than, you know?
It's, it's this black, like weird digital looking thing. And, whereas the T-1000, it looked like actual liquid. And I think now that might have been, some of those were actual liquid things that they were using in some of those effect shots.
But. Yeah, for sure. But, and also, like, and I never really completely got what the extent of his powers were, because apparently, like, he could separate, like, there was, which, I mean, I don't think that's enough of a spoiler, but, like,
it's in the trailer. It shows in the trailer, like, him being able to take his liquid skin off and make him, basically just turn himself into a second Terminator, essentially. His exoskeleton is still around and can do things, but he's got another liquid metal part of him that can do anything it wants.
And I just, and I just never completely got how that worked. Like, how could he not be attacked in that state? And
that's,
I don't know.
That's one of the things that Terminator 2 did so well explaining to us. You know, because once Arnold Schwarzenegger shows up in Terminator 2 and starts talking to Edward Furlong, he gives that exposition about what T-1000 is all about and what he can do. And he, and in Terminator 2, we only had one Terminator to compare it to, and it was easy to say, okay, this one is much more advanced and everything. This guy, I mean, we've seen in Terminator 3, we saw the Christanna Loken version of the Terminator that was, it was like a little bit more advanced than the T-1000. And then in Terminator Genesis, there's like a slightly, I mean, Terminator Genesis has got like a million different kinds of Terminator.
I mean, John Connor is a Terminator, right? Isn't that right in Genesis? Or he's something. Like, I mean,
I don't even remember, I think that sounds right. That sounds right. Anyway, I didn't understand that either. And while Mackenzie Davis's character does her best to sort of explain certain things, she's not what Schwarzenegger is in the second one. Or she's not even Kyle Reese in the first one.
No, she's basically just like, he's unstoppable.
She's very guarded about things that she says.
There you go. That's true. And that was another thing about this movie. There are so many things kept under wraps for so long. And then when you find out what the mystery is, or what the reason is, you're just like, really? Mm-hmm. Why you couldn't have told us that 30 minutes ago?
Yeah.
Because
if they could have come up with a reason, like a Back to the Future reason where you're not supposed to know about your own fate and all that type of thing, then maybe that would have been a good idea to talk about, to put that in the plot somewhere. But I don't think they even explain that.
No, they don't. And I mean, you know, she tells the Natalia Reyes character, the one that, like, the John Connor, the one that's being protected in this, her name is Danny.
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, Danny keeps trying to do things. And then, like, a couple of times, the Mackenzie Davis character's name is Grace, she'll say stuff to her like, you cannot die. You do not understand, but you cannot die. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I'm just like, well, then fucking tell her.
Yeah, why she can't.
And maybe she'll she'll listen to you.
Yeah, I feel like this is a movie we need to get into spoilers for. But sure. Anyway, I felt like coming out of this movie, this was a good Terminator if you hadn't seen any other Terminator movies.
Interesting.
Like, I feel like it would have been perfectly fine, you know, the second one is so good, but imagine if we didn't know that the second one existed. And then, this one came out. We would be like, wow, that's pretty, I mean, some of this is pretty good. And they don't make it confusing. Mm-hmm. There's no confusing time travel in this really that much. But all in all, this movie is, I didn't like it. I'm going to give this one a C.
I'm giving it a C as well. I think there's enough to not take it lower than that, but I just, in the grand scheme of, I just don't care. Like and it has a little bit going against it going in. Like you said, there's been a couple of really, not as good ones.
Mm-hmm.
And then for some people, it's going to be three bad ones, you know, if they didn't like part three. At some point, I mean, I hear the talks that whether or not it should exist, it can still be a good movie. I guess that's true, but when you get to like the sixth movie in a franchise, you got to justify that to me at least a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't really, that does factor in a little bit to my enjoyment of it. And I just, this is like what they, you know, I don't know. Maybe this is the best they could have done. And I guess it doesn't matter because this franchise has to be dead now. Or they're gonna go completely revamp it.
Yeah, they'll would
do
have
a
to
TV show something.
They would have to go to a completely new reboot of this.
I think it would almost have to be like HBO. I don't even know who owns this anymore. But yeah. Is it Warner Brothers?
Well, in this one, it was Paramount and Fox.
Oh, that's right. So I don't even know what streaming service that would be. But maybe you could create a show mm-hmm. or something. But C. I mean, this just feels like a C.
Yeah.
It's probably a little more below average than that even, but,
it could be. I felt like there was enough good in this.
There's some good action sequences, I should say. There's entertaining action sequences. I think that first scene, which basically the trailer shows you, the trailer basically shows you the first like 20 minutes of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed that scene. There's, the stuff with the plane later on is some of that's kind of fun. But yeah, I'm just gonna say C.
Yeah. All right, let's go on into spoilers for this.
No spoilers!
Kevin Spacey is Kaiser Soze.
He's Luke's father is actually Darth Vader. What? She's the sister and the daughter. They just
No. I'm reading the books.
So yeah, the thing about this movie is that we no longer have a Skynet. It's called Legion now.
But it is Skynet.
It's Skynet. the idea is that yes, in Terminator 2, they did change the future. They made it so that Cyberdyne didn't create all this stuff and Skynet never happened. However, because the world is a big place and people are always, finding new technologies, this is inevitable. It's going to happen.
But would they look the exact same? See, that's where I started going like, I mean, I didn't want to be too picky, but I'm just like, they look the exact same.
Maybe not. I would say that probably not because I'm that way about time travel and the effects of it. But you also have to, this is not excusing this, by the way.
Oh, no, no.
I'm not saying this to be against you. I am saying that. When you're making a movie franchise, you have to have characters that are the same from movie to movie. It would have been cool if they had made a completely different looking Terminator because why not?
Yeah. And I mean, and I guess maybe it's a bit of a brand issue too. Like this is what people come to see. Like that, at least that seems to be the way studios look at it.
They do. They do. That's the reason why certain kinds of movies are released on the same date as a movie similar to it.
Yeah.
That's the reason why they do all these like copycat things and whatever. But yeah, that's what it is. It's a branding issue.
And I didn't even think about it till we started talking about it. And I couldn't really mention this until we got into spoilers because we were talking about the whole Skynet. You know, it's not Skynet, it's Legion. But like, I guess, I mean, the Gabriel, is it Gabriel? What's his name again? I'm sorry. Diego Luna? Gabriel Luna. The Gabriel Luna character is essentially the Robert Patrick character.
Yeah.
He's like a variation. He's like what we would have had. Or what we have now because Skynet's been destroyed.
Yeah, and by the way, if we're going to bring up that, I mean, that's one of the things that I always wonder about with these Terminator movies. Not just the design, but why they're always better than the previous movie. Because let's say in the Terminator, they successfully altered the future in a way that... Actually, the first Terminator is different about its time travel rules because it goes by that, and it's a Russian guy's name, something, the uncertainty principle.
Yeah.
It goes by that where everything that has happened has always happened. So in 1984, there was always someone from the future who came by and there was always a Kyle Reese. There was always there was never a 1984 without them.
And that was is that the same thing where like that would be Kyle Reese's present? Like when he goes back to 84.
Yes. In that uncertainty principle, you can't change anything. And basically we have no free will, essentially.
Yeah.
That's what that first Terminator that first time travel thing goes by and everything. But the second one does not. The second one does not go by that. They've successfully changed the future. Mm-hmm. I don't know how Skynet knows that the first thing that they did didn't work, so let's make something even better.
Yeah.
Because it should just be the same history that keeps mm-hmm. coming up, where it's like, oh, we've got we're getting our asses beat by John Connor, let's kill him, and yeah. they would just make the same thing over and over
yeah.
again.
What? Yeah.
And again, it's because we're in sequels, it's because we're in a franchise. They have to always evolve.
Yeah.
They have to make things better.
It's like a horror sequel. Things got to get bloodier. Things have got to be bigger and all that crap.
Right.
Yeah.
So, even in that, you're sitting there, you're looking at this Gabriel Luna character who's playing the, what is it, the Red Nine? The Rev Nine
yeah.
is what they're calling it yeah. in this. He's playing that, and it's like the Robert Patrick one, the T-1000s, and it's kind of like the, I don't know if the Christina Loken, did it?
It's been a minute since I've seen that yeah. one. But she did something similar, I feel.
Yeah. You know, that liquid metal thing has always been a part of it since Terminator 2.
Yeah.
And so they keep trying to come up with new things. And like you said, in this one, it doesn't make any sense it doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get, what is the advantage? unless you're tag teaming, and which I don't think he ever does in this.
Oh, when he separates. Yeah. Yeah.
yeah,
yeah.
He doesn't. You would think there would be some weaknesses or some extra strengths.
Yeah.
And I never really got that from this at all. It was just kind of like, hey, this is this cool thing where he can detach from his exoskeleton.
Well, yeah. And if he could, I mean, and then it's like, why would it have to stop there? I mean, I guess he only has one exoskeleton, so maybe
yeah.
that's why, but it still kind of made you wonder, you know?
Right.
And then I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we're supposed to believe that new liquid version of himself without an exoskeleton is, it doesn't, there's no difference. There's no difference. Like it would be nice if the movie had just said, here's, and Mackenzie Davis, that's the thing about making her character not want to talk about anything.
Yeah.
Is that she doesn't give us that proper exposition about this particular Terminator where we can say, oh, so when he does that,
yeah,
here are some things we need to keep in mind.
Yeah.
And it doesn't ever get to that.
Yeah. And I mean, like the only thing she ever really says about him until the end, and that's a whole other thing, but the only thing she says about him is that he's unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just have to...
Yeah, you just have to run.
Yeah, that's all you can really do. But then all of a sudden at the end, oh, but I have a power source.
Yeah.
And that'll kill him.
Right.
Also, we should mention, Mackenzie Davis is human.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's one thing.
But she's enhanced.
She's an enhanced human. So
they don't really explain that either.
No, and then when they... And then there's,
I kept waiting for the explanation.
And then, I mean, it's going to sound like we're making all this shit up if people are listening and haven't seen it.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
There's this whole middle section where they're in an immigration detainment camp,
yeah,
or detainment facility,
mm-hmm.
and this movie has a lot of comments to talk. It has a lot of things to say about immigration.
Yes, it does.
But which is interesting. But the doctors are just looking at her. They're X-raying her and stuff. And that could have been really interesting. But they're
yeah.
just kind of like, huh? I wonder how they got all that in her.
yeah.
Huh?
And then yeah. And then, before they can even do anything, she's up and she's like, who told you that I never gave you permission to look at my private parts?
Yeah, that was bad. I could just see Mackenzie Davis, but do I really have to say that?
Yeah.
Like, can we not change right. this to something?
Yeah. You know what? The more that I talk about it, maybe this is a D.
Well, I'll tell you that, but there's this whole thing at the end where she has this power source, which I guess we can get back to that. But the thing I really, 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 really detested about this movie was the introduction, was bringing Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
There is no reason for him to be here.
Oh, and the reasoning is so dumb.
And it's not even the same one, right? From the Terminator 2.
No, okay. It's not. There's a lot of things we haven't gotten into here.
Yeah.
I think we've discussed that Natalia Reyes, who plays Danny, is the new, John Connor in this one. She's the new.
Yeah. Linda Hamilton says that at one point. She's like, oh, you're John Connor.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a point where I knew this, that she wasn't giving birth to the next resistance fighter.
Yeah.
I knew that when Linda Hamilton, while they're on the truck, mm-hmm. I think that's the truck they're trying to get across the border with.
Yeah, I believe so.
And Linda Hamilton says that you're the next mom who gives birth to the resistance.
Like, yeah.
You're just like I was, all this other stuff. And while Mackenzie Davis is trying to explain this, and then Linda Hamilton's like, oh yeah, you're just another womb. Nobody is, you're not important. It's who you're going to give birth to. And Mackenzie Davis doesn't say anything, doesn't acknowledge it. And so I was like, oh, okay. Well, that means that she's going to be the John Connor.
Yeah.
And we find out that the future that they're talking about isn't very far.
No,
it's like 3 years maybe.
Although that was that future, yeah. But Mackenzie Davis's future is a little farther because she's a kid.
Yeah. Because she's a kid when Danny finds her and saves her from there's a whole thing about like the machines come, they kill everybody and there's only a few people left and food gets scarce.
Yeah.
And there's people fighting other people for food and stuff and she saves young Grace from mm-hmm. that and everything. But yes, in this timeline, we have so after Terminator 2 has happened, another Terminator is sent back in 1998, mm-hmm. and we see someone who is, it's obviously one of those, deep fake type of things where
kind of like what they did in Genesis.
Yeah. Where they put Edward Furlong's face on somebody who's younger, who can run around. And then they have Linda Hamilton as like her 1998 self in that. And this Terminator, who looks exactly like all the other Arnold Schwarzenegger Terminators, successfully kills John Connor. And this is one of the, so he kills him and then he goes off and like basically retires or something.
Yeah, I guess.
And this is one of those things that I always wondered what would happen in the first Terminator if he kills Linda Hamilton's roommate.
Yeah.
He's about to walk out when the answer machine comes on and she says, hey, it's Sarah and all that.
Yeah.
And he realizes he didn't kill the right person. I always wondered what the Terminator was going to do after that.
Yeah.
Like if he had just walked out and not heard the answer machine. And it would have just gone and retired somewhere.
Yeah, gone and got an apartment.
Yeah. I mean, this is what he does in this fucking movie.
Yeah.
It's not an apartment. He's a hermit, essentially. Then, well, not a hermit,
and
but.
And then, is that his, supposed to be his kid? Like, cause you were
no.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No.
I just zoned out or something.
No, he tells this story about how his learning program or whatever started realizing that, because he meets this mom and her kid.
Oh, okay, that's right. I do remember this.
And
his
learning program starts to learn that what he did to John, and he understands what Linda Hamilton was going through, and so he became empathetic as much as a machine can.
Yeah.
And so he's like shacking up with this. They're not having sex. They even make that mention where he's like, our relationship's not physical.
Yeah.
And he says, I've been spending my time and I'm a good listener and I'm also very funny and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
And, so like that's what he's been doing. And he's, so the insanity, not only that, that's insane.
Yeah.
But the other insanity is that he's been texting Linda Hamilton all these years like all these like different places where Terminators are going to show up.
And why wouldn't he just go?
And she's like, how's that possible? And it's like, well, every time the time machine is used,
yeah,
I can feel something in the Force, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. He
texts her all this stuff saying, all right, go here and kill these Terminators, which why doesn't he do it?
Or go help her?
I mean, he assumes that Linda Hamilton just go around destroying Terminators. You know how hard that... Apparently, it's easy, though. But in the past few years, she's just been going and just destroying Terminators.
Yeah,
no problem.
And she's like an alcoholic. And yeah. I mean, because she's like, I kill Terminators, and then I get blackout drunk.
Yeah. 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 The reintroduction of Arnie is probably a major problem.
And you have to sit through that crap where Mackenzie Davis is talking to him and the mom and the son leave or whatever. And he's like, I told him there'd be a day where, you know, I'd have to go off or whatever. And then he's like, and then at the very end, he's like, and I told him I wouldn't be back.
Yeah.
You're like, go give me a break.
Yeah. Whereas Linda Hamilton gets to have the I'll be back line.
That was in the trailer. The other thing about Schwarzenegger, though, that really bugged me was because I've already talked about, I really like the three female characters.
Yeah.
And they were really like strong, kick ass, like female heroines. But then they gotta have, Arnold's gotta like save them.
Yeah.
And they don't need them.
Yeah.
Like they could have done everything they end up doing. They don't need
him. The only time they need him is when they think Mackenzie Davis is about to die.
Yeah.
And he comes over.
That's true.
And say, that's the only time.
Really. Yeah, I guess. Cause that way they would at least have like a Terminator of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't seem to even be in very good shape or anything. Like he didn't really seem to be equipped to do much with this kind of Terminator.
Yeah.
I mean, he was, you know, he was stalling, I guess, for them to run away or whatever, but it just kind of felt like it felt really kind of shitty though, that you go through the trouble of creating these really strong female characters.
Yeah.
And then you just bring Arnold Schwarzenegger in, and it's like not even the same character.
Yeah. It's not the same one.
In fact, it's the one that killed her son.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
that's what we're supposed to
be. Yeah. The one from Terminator 2 that was their friend dead. The one in the beginning of this movie that's where we're saying Terminator 3 didn't happen, is a completely different one. And we know, like, from other Terminators that they all look like Arnold Schwarzenegger, essentially.
Yeah.
The ones with the skin, the realistic skin, quote unquote, and everything. For a while there, though, I felt like it wasn't even acknowledging Terminator 2 in this movie.
Yeah.
For a while. I mean, other than the fact that John Connor dies at the beginning of this.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's really it. And that Linda Hamilton, Sarah Connor, has still been doing this. Because other than that, there really isn't any connection. Because, that's over.
Yeah.
Because the future didn't happen.
Yeah.
But it kind of did. It's just now instead of Skynet, it's Legion. Instead of John Connor, it's Danny.
Yeah.
And then instead of Arnie, it's Mackenzie, or instead of Kyle Reese, it's Mackenzie Davis's character. And, it's basically the same thing, but done a lot less interesting other than we get these really cool female characters, but then they fuck that up.
Yeah, they did fuck this up. And because that's one thing that you're realizing before Arnie shows up, you're like, oh, they're perfectly capable of doing this to themselves. And then, because the movie is the franchise and all that, it's got to have him in there. So they got to find some off the wall way to put him back in. And yeah, it's disappointing.
I mean, even if they just had him in like that scene, like where they go get like some like guns from him or something, they could have just done something
like
that.
It'd be nice if he just said, here's how you kill this one.
Yeah.
And then I can't go with you. Yeah. I have a life now. And
yeah, I got to go watch the football
and
game.
Maybe he shows up later if they're in a jam or something.
I guess.
Whatever.
And that was after the immigration thing, right? Was that after?
Yeah. Remember. It takes forever for them to get to that point. It's a good hour and maybe an hour until he shows up.
Yeah.
Somewhere around there.
I will say though, the immigration facility though, that did provide another really cool action scene. And I really like Gabriel Luna is really good.
Yeah.
And like that's why we're giving this a C because there are good things about it.
Yeah.
It's just when you start talking about all the ridiculous stuff, it gets crazy. But like Gabriel Luna, like he's a badass and he's a really good villain.
Mm-hmm.
And I did like, you know, how he's kind of like playing both sides because he's trying to get, he's acting like he's a cop. Yeah. I still thought it was a little too easy for him to get in there, but I mean,
yeah,
he's just like make some dick joke or something. The guy's like, oh, just go on, man.
Yeah, he goes over, he says, so he gets stopped and then he goes through the metal detector and it beeps and and the guy's like, looks at him. He's like, yeah, two tours in Afghanistan. Yeah. I got a metal hip whatever. And then the guy just looks at him. He's like, yeah, okay, just go on in.
Thanks for your service.
Yeah, you're good.
But yeah, then before he went in there, I think there was something like, he's like, you know, we got to make sure you're not packing. He's like, I'm always packing. Or you like, yeah. It's like, how do you even know to make that joke?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like the witches and Hocus Pocus. Right. Like, you know what I mean?
Like, all of a sudden, you know all the modern stuff.
Like, they took the time to put all that in. You know,
apparently,
you might run into a guy at a detainment facility.
Yeah.
Make sure you have a joke about your dick.
Yeah, yeah. You got to know things about Southern politics and Texas border control, and you're good. Apparently, this guy is an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like everybody else in the world, apparently, but he plays Ghost Rider.
I was not watching the show anymore when they introduced Ghost Rider, but yeah, there you go. No, I liked him quite a bit. He was one of the better characters in the movie, for sure.
Yeah, anyway, I think this review has sort of meandered about, but I mean, not meandered, but we've kind of gone around, like, out of order in a lot of things because there's so much to sort of talk about, and then we like the performances. I like that they finally stripped this down and it's not like a, like this, I mean, I guess Genesis was the only one that really went crazy on its time travel. It just went back to the basics on the time travel here, except for a couple of things that are like, why is that the way it is? But
no, yeah, Genesis is like one of the first movies I've ever seen where I'm almost positive this is true, that it retcons something at the beginning and then literally retcons itself like 30 minutes later. Like, it's like, it is, you're right, it is an insane movie.
Yeah.
And maybe that's kind of why I had for some weird reason enjoyed it. But
that's the other thing. We're getting back to Linda Hamilton in this and how she's been killing Terminators, and apparently she's wanted in 50 states for some reason.
Which we find out that guy, you know, gets her at the detainment facility and is like, you're famous.
Yeah. I don't know why she'd be wanted in 50 states, but... she's hanging in Hawaii and just like commits crimes while she's out there. But the other thing about how she's been killing Terminators all this time, like every Terminator we've ever seen, Skynet sends someone back and then the Resistance finds out about it and sends one of their own back. And I guess they're saying there are times where Skynet just does this and nobody else goes back.
I guess, or were they trying to say, like, all these, like, different futures kept happening? Because if she kept destroying Terminators, maybe she was stopping things?
Could be.
So, like, there was, like, four or five, like, 40 different Skynets.
It makes sense to me that they would send some back and there wouldn't be a protector that comes along. Because I've always wondered why, like, how did the Resistance always know that there's someone being sent back? And then they get in and send their own people and never understood that. But in this case, like the other thing, we've already discussed the weirdness of her just doing this on her own. How many like generations of Terminators, like if we're saying Terminator 2 still exists in this universe, and I guess this movie is saying that, then she's killing like T-1000s with regular weapons, which we saw in Terminator 2 is not possible. You have to get them in some like never ending situation, like the liquid steel is and everything. None of that makes sense.
No, it really doesn't. Yeah. Like, if you stop to think about it, it's cool. Like when she says it, like Linda Hamilton totally pulls it off.
Sure.
But and when you think about it for even a second, you're just like, wait, none of this.
Yeah.
This can't be right. Like, is she just dreaming that she's doing this?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. She's like built up a whole legend for herself. Like, I just kill Terminators like ain't nothing. But yeah, I guess, I mean, that's another thing. Why would, I guess you could keep on changing the future and they keep sending something back and maybe the T-1000, maybe they're like, well, the one time we sent one back. See, that's the thing. I don't even know how they know the one time they sent back because they shouldn't know that. That's true. Anyway, I'm going to tie myself in pretzels talking about the time travel.
Well, I think we should talk about the end, though, because that whole power source thing, I did not get that at all.
No.
And the main thing I didn't get about it was like, because they have to kill her to get, she has something, and, oh, okay, they get an EMP device, right?
Yes.
She has a contact.
They has a contact.
Was that guy from Terminator 2? I couldn't, because it's been a while since I've seen it. I don't think he was.
But it's some military guy, yeah. And he says something about, I don't commit treason for just anybody or something like that. And then there's a whole thing where the new Terminator knows where they're at, and because he's got this weird like ability to connect into everything, and so he knows that they're there, and so he comes in like right after that, and he announces his presence essentially by coming in on a helicopter. Just why do that, exactly.
And I mean,
but yeah, they try an EMP, but the EMP gets damaged.
Yeah, it gets shot up or something. So they, she says, I guess, oh, wait, I have a power source in my body that can do the same thing the EMP can do, essentially. Mm-hmm. It will just stop him from working. And she's like, but I'll have to die.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sitting there thinking, like, well, if, I mean, because your plan this whole time was just to come here and run.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had something, there was an invention that would stop this guy.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't send you with one of those?
Yeah.
Like, that's not in your body?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, maybe it has to be powered or something, but I mean...
Who knows? Yeah, exactly. I mean, the very idea that she has something in her body that you just... All you have to do is touch it to...
Yeah.
You know, touch it to the new Terminator, and that's somehow enough to get him, you know...
And that's kind of where Schwarzenegger comes in, which once again, maybe he could have just showed up at this point and they could have worked him into it somehow. But that's kind of where he comes in, because he goes down there with him and he makes sure that he stays put. But at the same time, if that thing starts working once it touches him, why would you need Schwarzenegger to hold him down?
And this is another situation, too. Why don't you just find another place to dump a guy in liquid steel?
Yeah.
If you know that works, then find another factory.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I sometimes fret about the people who work at that factory and everything, and the people who run that business and everything. Yeah. You know, they're always having to clean up Terminators and shit. But you know, it would be nice.
But and the other thing with Schwarzenegger's death is like that's supposed to be like this big moment, but like he's not even the same person. So like, what do we care?
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy that gunned down John Connor.
Yeah,
I kind of want him to die.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't really have any sympathy for him.
Right,
it's insane.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah, he's not the same one.
But it's a C.
It's a C. Yeah, it's got just like we said. It's got just good enough.
It's not boring.
Yeah.
I mean, it's long, but it moves along at a pretty decent pace. And like I said, I really like the first like 20 or 30 minutes, that whole like car scene, introducing Linda Hamilton, introducing the, Luna, and introducing Mackenzie Davis and all that. I was like, oh, wait, this was actually not bad.
Reminds me of another thing in this movie is that when Linda Hamilton shows up, And she throws that grenade down and blows up the truck. And then she goes down to make sure that this thing is dead. And then she sees her truck getting stolen.
Yeah.
That's way more important to her than making sure that this Terminator's dead, which doesn't seem part of her character at all.
True.
Like, yes, that sucks that they're stealing your truck, but it doesn't take her long to find them anyway.
Well, and I don't even know how she knows that the Mackenzie Davis character is protecting that girl. I don't even know how she knows all that. I mean, maybe there's enough going on to where she can figure it out.
Yeah.
But she comes in really quick and just starts blowing that dude away.
Yeah.
I mean, what if that had been a human?
Right.
I don't know how she would have known any different at that point.
I don't either. I don't either.
She might not have cared either. But...
Okay, Jonathan, it's an F. We got it. We get you.
No, I'm
just kidding.
There's definitely things that don't make sense. I would be willing to overlook some of that. I think really if they had not brought Schwarzenegger in, or at least not brought him in the way they brought him in, I think I would have liked this a lot more. He's a huge problem for me.
Mm.
And I can't seem to get around that because I like Luna's, I like the villain, I like the heroines, I like the fight scenes and stuff for the most part. They're fun, but the Schwarzenegger stuff, and then in effect, because of Schwarzenegger, them trying to like tie all this in somehow and make it something. And I feel like they think the idea that this is just still what the future is going to be mm-hmm. every time. Like, that is interesting, but I just don't feel like they really approach it in an interesting way. You just have her going, oh, you're John.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you're just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then to have that weird bit where it's like, oh, and also, we don't like immigration. And, I mean,
right.
we think people should, you know, we don't like immigration. We don't like detainment facilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Just let's throw that in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? I mean, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but I just don't know.
It just doesn't belong in this movie.
No, not at all. That's yeah. not, I mean... has no bearing on this movie whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, even if you even try to think about it, I mean, I guess the idea is that somebody like Natalia Reyes,
yeah.
the Danny character, are people that we're like sending back and everything, and like
yeah.
that's a person
yeah.
that could be useful someday
yeah.
or whatever. I don't know. I don't know what they're really trying to say there, but yeah, it doesn't really belong in this.
Yeah,
but you're right. It does give us a little bit of an action scene that's pretty good.
Yeah, that was one of the better. I thought that was one of the more like well shot like suspense scenes. That's another thing. Tim Miller. I mean. I still don't really know what I think of him. I mean, I like Deadpool, but mm-hmm. I don't know what I really think of him as a director. I mean, I still think Deadpool has a lot more to do with Ryan Reynolds than it does
yeah.
anything else that happens in it.
Yeah, I agree. I don't really know how much Tim Miller, you know, what his contribution was, because you're right. Ryan Reynolds seems to be the main thing. And when Deadpool 2, all that stuff went down
yeah.
and he was gone from it, I was like, well... As long as Ryan Reynolds still does Ryan Reynolds
yeah,
stuff,
exactly.
Then,
and yeah. I mean the action in this probably is better than it is in Deadpool, but those are two completely different types
yeah.
of action movies too. So, but I don't know. Yeah, I mean I'm still sticking with C.
Yeah,
but,
C is perfectly fine.
Yeah.
I mean even C minus if you want, but
yeah.
But yeah, I think there's just enough good.
And I totally get why people are enjoying it. Like people that are giving this like a pass and are giving it a positive review. I get it. I
mm-hmm.
mean, like I think, like I said, I think I just had so many issues with Arnie coming. And nothing against Arnie. But,
no, we love
yeah,
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
It's just not in this movie. So anyway, that'll do it for this mini pod. For Terminator Dark Fate.
Yep.
This review felt like we were all over the place, but I mean, the movie kind of, I mean.
I don't know. I actually was kind of looking forward to it. So I don't know if I would say it's better than I thought it would be. It's probably somewhere, maybe it's a little worse and a little better in places. I don't really know how to put it. But
this is one of those movies when you talk about it, there's
yeah.
so many things you have to get to first and then
yeah.
you start meandering about and all that.
Yeah.
So sorry if anybody felt offended by that. but that'll do it for this week. Go to Sincast presented by CinemaSins on Facebook. We have a CinemaSins Twitter. We have a Music Video Sins Twitter. We're on Reddit. We have a Discord. If you want to go to Discord, if you're not on Discord, go to Facebook and ask me on a private message. I can give you a link there, or you can go to Reddit. And apparently there is a link on the
mm-hmm.
right side of the screen there. You can go to. You're
I'm on Twitter. You can talk to me at @SamLoomis13, and you can hear me every week on the Behind the Sins podcast with Aaron Dicer and Danae Hughes.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll do it for this week, or we'll do it for this pod, this mini pod.
Arnie pod.
Yeah. Arnie pod. Arnie pod. We should
yeah,
have said that.
Well, I didn't really want to because I was trying to say, think if that was a spoiler or not.
No, because they show him in the trailer. But that'll do it for this mini pod. It's Chris Atkinson and Jonathan Watkins. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Comment on our episodes on our SoundCloud page. Check us out on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Reddit. And be sure to visit CinemaSins.com.
I actually listened to a podcast today, Best Movies Never Made, and they were actually talking about the abandoned Commando 2 script.
Oh, yeah.
And I really wish that had been made.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't remember. I think I've read about that, and I remember it being something that I was like, yeah, I'd fucking watch that.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's very much about, like, cocaine trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
So it would have only worked. Like, there was, like, they even make a joke in the podcast about there was kind of a short window to get that movie made. Like, that movie had to come out between, like, 87 and 89.
Oh, yeah.
And after that, it wouldn't have made any sense.
No. Was the original Commando from the Die Hard books?
They talk about that. Apparently, that's just an urban legend. Like,
oh,
that,
it
that,
is?
It was a rumor that got started, but no, because Die Hard is based on that Nothing Lasts Forever, but
yeah.
Commando was never attached to that in any way. There was like something where I think there was like a bit where originally at one point something was going to take place on a ship and it was kind of a terrorist thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it was similar.
Yeah.
But I think that's where people got it from.
Thought it was interesting because the original book, did they make that into a, like, did Frank Sinatra was...
Yeah, Roderick Thorpe, I think, is the author.
He
wrote two books. One was called The Detective, and then one was called Nothing Lasts Forever. And Nothing Lasts Forever, the character from The Detective, is, like, in his 60s.
Right.
And so Frank Sinatra played the character in the movie The Detective. My understanding has always been the reason they offered Die Hard to him was because contractually they had to.
That's right. That's what I was – yeah. The idea was when Die Hard came up – because he was contracted to be that character, they had to offer him Die Hard.
And I think he immediately was like, no.
Yeah, I'm old.
But apparently in the book, I've never read the book, but apparently in the book, it's like a guy in his 60s, and he actually comes to see his daughter. So the Bonnie...
Bedelia
character would have been like his daughter, if they had, assuming they had ever even thought about doing it that way. I doubt they had even written a script before they offered it to him. They were probably trying to figure out what they had to do. All right. So I saw this because just the way the times worked out, I went to the IMAX at Cool Springs,
mm-hmm.
which I had never been in before. That is not an IMAX. Have you been in that one?
I didn't know. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I have been in that one. No, it's not. That's the kind of IMAX that they instituted, about 10 years ago.
Okay.
It's not IMAX. You're absolutely right. But I remember Aziz Ansari about 10 or so years ago had some sort of, it was either Twitter or some sort of blog post or something.
Yeah.
Where he said, you know, went in to see this movie and it was advertised as IMAX and it clearly isn't because it's not the same size.
Yeah.
They sort of just kind of, they're just kind of gaslighting you, telling you that's IMAX when you go to... There's only a few true ones. I think there's only one
true one. Opry Mills?
Opry Mills may be the only true one.
I've been to that one.
In Nashville. And that's IMAX. The problem is I think Regal bought them. Somebody bought them and turned their IMAX into something smaller. Basically, they were like, I think what happened was theater owners were like, we want to say we have IMAX, but we don't want to retrofit one of our theaters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We don't want to make it where we have to build an entire another story in our
own. Yeah.
Just don't buy IMAX then. Here's the thing about IMAX and the Wikipedia. I haven't gotten to who owns it yet, but this is true. The digital projection is why these things started getting smaller. Maintaining the same seven-story giant screen size would only make this loss more noticeable. This is the lamp that they're using in the projectors. And so many new theaters were being built with significantly smaller screen sizes, yet being marketed with the same brand name of IMAX. These newer theaters with the much lower resolution and much smaller screens were soon being referred to by the derogatory name LIMAX.
Oh, that's funny. Ashley just said, editing the pilot of Fargo, she's now watching the show because of that edit.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, yeah, it'll do that to you.